Rescue operations continue across southern Turkey and parts of northern Syria after two powerful earthquakes hit the region early on Monday. At least 4,800 people have been killed across the two countries. The World Health Organization is warning the death toll could rise eightfold. Well, the region of Hatay in southern Turkey is one of the worst affected. More than 1,200 buildings have been destroyed in the province. People spent Monday night sifting through rubble looking for any signs of life.
We heard them. They're calling out, asking for help. They asked to be rescued. We cannot rescue them. How can we rescue them? Nobody has come since this morning. Nobody. We have nobody. Look around. Look.
We heard voices. Our children are in there. What can we do? The building is already partially collapsed. This is human life. What can you do when you hear calls for help? There are no emergency workers, no soldiers, nobody. This is a neglected place.
Well, let's speak to Kerem Sinek. He's the head of the Turkish Red Crescent. He joins us by phone from Kahramanmaraş. You're at the epicenter of the quake. Can you give us a sense of what it is like there now and the conditions that you are facing?
Two major earthquakes of magnitude 7.7 and 7.6 hit the southeastern Turkey on Monday in same day, and we have more than 3,300 people died and more than 20,000 people were injured. Actually, over 5,500 buildings totally collapsed and thousands of others also heavily damaged. Almost 20,000 search and rescue and humanitarian response staff at the field. But the huge area, wide area, and we have very heavy winter conditions. Our roads have been affected from earthquake and heavy winter conditions, snow and other conditions. So we are trying to reach out every affected region and sub-region. Turkish Red Crescent Society as and local national society, we are working with our 2,000 staff and 200 vehicles and our tents and blankets and other basic humanitarian assistance items. We are here to respond as soon as possible and as much as possible. We deployed our mobile kitchens to the affected provinces. We have 10 provinces, and three of them heavily affected. Authorities have declared this disaster as a level 4 alarm that calls for international assistance. Turkey mobilized all our domestic capacity, shelters, search and rescue, food, healthcare capacity to the affected region, but we need some other assistance abroad.
Can you talk a little bit about the damage to the infrastructure, like the roads and the airports in the region, and how difficult that is making it for you and your teams to get to some of these areas? Have you been able to get to all of the regions affected at this point?
Main highways also affected, and some are airports like Hatay airports affected. So Hatay, as yesterday, closed to take off and landing, but authorities trying to fix the damage and highways as well. But in the meantime, water switch system, natural gas piping systems, electricity and telecommunication lines also have been affected. So it's really difficult to communicate and to transfer our items to the affected areas. But by the second days, you know, today, AFAD, our disaster authority, and our team will be reached out to every affected areas by our essential humanitarian items.
You mentioned the weather, and obviously we know that that's making an already really dire situation, even more grim. Can you give us an understanding of just how the freezing temperatures and the rain and the snow is affecting the search and rescue efforts and I guess the survival rate for those that are still stuck in the rubble?
Yes, actually our local capacity, the staff and our volunteers have been affected because of the earthquake. So we obliged to deploy our additional response team from neighboring provinces. And the weather conditions so bad and heavy, and it's really difficult to reach the affected areas by road and by air. Our search and rescue teams from different NGOs and Gendarmerie and AFAD, the disaster authorities, are working under this heavy weather conditions, snow, wet, wind, and minus degree also weather conditions. And it's really difficult to work here. But we have huge solidarity among nation, and we have huge solidarity among the humanitarian sectors in the world. And I believe that we will overcome this big disaster and catastrophe.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. I know you're obviously going to be extremely busy for the days and weeks and months ahead. That is Kerem Sinek, the head of the Turkish Red Crescent. He joined us by phone from Karamanmaras, which is near the epicentre of one of the large earthquakes. Just want to stay on these pictures for the next little moment or two. These are some of the search and rescue teams that we were just talking about. And what you see here is that they stop every few minutes to listen to see if they can hear any survivors that are still trapped under the rubble. They will come to a complete standstill and wait to see if they can hear anything from underneath the tons and tons of rubble that have fallen, and then frantically start digging again if and when they do hear any noise from those survivors. Well, we're going to go to Sinem Kosioglu, who is in Istanbul, where she is monitoring developments. And Sinem, obviously a huge search and rescue operation underway across such a wide region. Can you just give us an idea of the international aid and assistance that has been offered by some of the countries?
Well, all neighbouring countries and friendly countries of Turkey, as Turkey is also a NATO ally, have offered their help to Turkey since the beginning of this earthquake. More than 60 nations offered this help. We heard the United States, other Western countries, Russia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, Greece, trying to help Turkey by offering to send rescue workers, humanitarian and medical supplies for this deadly earthquake to help the civilians trapped in these areas. Of course, these are being coordinated by the Turkish authorities in Ankara, as everything needs to be planned, even reaching out to people, delivering the aids. Everything needs to be coordinated as the area hit by the earthquake yesterday morning is also prone to some technical problems, like four airports have been shut down since yesterday. The highways are, some of them are destroyed. So it is not easy to access these areas. And we're hearing that there are some areas, not only in the rurals, but also some centers haven't been able to be accessed by the rescue workers because of these technical reasons. So this is very important. And as Kerem Kınık said, Turkish Red Crescent director said, yes, Turkey is working in full capacity, but it is not enough. So that's why the Turkish authorities announced a level 4 alarm code yesterday, which means Turkey requires international assistance. And it is also coming one by one. Some of them are already on the ground working with the Turkish volunteers and Turkish rescue workers. But more than 24 hours is behind, and Each hour is critical from now on until the 72nd hour following the earthquake. This is why more help is needed. More carriers are needed to reach out to these areas. Sometimes when you look at the social media and when you look at the news, people accuse the government of being late in response, but time will show us how everything is well organized or not well organized, but everybody is blaming the urbanization in the area.
Okay, just looking at these pictures, the search and rescue workers still trying their hardest to find survivors in the rubble. There's obviously aftershocks, so there's been hundreds of aftershocks. Can you tell us about how that is affecting the people on the ground in these regions?
Actually, for aftershocks, these have very strong magnitudes. Since yesterday, as you said, hundreds of aftershocks happened from 5.0 to 6.6 magnitude, which is like a separate earthquake. And yesterday, Turkey suffered two earthquakes around the same magnitude. So for rescue workers, getting under those rubbles or getting over those leveled down buildings is also critical, because as they are trying to move during aftershocks, those damaged buildings have the risk to fall down and fall apart. That's why even the lives of the rescue workers are under a threat right now. And we are hearing that rescue workers are hearing the voices of the trapped people down below the level, the collapsed buildings. But these are works that needs full concentration and silence, and of course help from outside. That's why the authorities have made calls for the civilians. If they have nothing to do in the city, they should leave the city so that the rescue workers, response groups, would be able to work more comfortably. Another thing that challenges the rescue workers is the climate condition. It is winter time, and eastern Turkey always suffers harsh winters at this time. It is snowing. There is heavy snow in Malatya and Adıyaman, and in some cities, this heavy weather condition is expected to continue throughout the week, and there is rain. That's why it is also difficult for the rescue workers to get under those rubbles. It doesn't finish when you pull out the people from under the rubbles. You have to provide them shelters. This is all a big coordination, a big organization that all, both authorities and rescue worker, the response groups need to work together with.
Okay, thank you so much. That is Sinem Kosioglu for us out of Istanbul with the latest developments. Well, across the border in neighbouring Syria, the government is calling for urgent help from the United Nations. At least 1,600 people were killed in the earthquakes there. Hundreds of families in the north are trapped under destroyed buildings. Well, the disaster has added to misery already faced by millions of Syrians displaced by 11 years of civil war. Many are living in makeshift camps. Well, Arno Kimmen is the Regional Director for the Middle East with Mercy Corps. He joins us from Beirut. Thank you very much for being on Al Jazeera. I guess, first of all, we've heard a lot about the situation in Turkey. Can you just bring us up to date with the search and rescue efforts in northern Syria?
Well, the situation in northern Syria is pretty similar to the one in Turkey. Yesterday was very difficult for everybody. The communications were very spotty, so we had a hard time reaching our staff. Most of them had their house damaged. And of course, this is happening to a population that is largely displaced and has been, as you said, under very difficult situations for the past 10 years.
Have you even been able to get into some of the worst affected areas to, or get information out of the worst affected areas to I guess, gather as much information as you can to know where people and rescue teams need to go?
Yes, so we immediately started to reassess the areas where we're already operating, which is like 98 camps, but we also very aware that the camps are not necessarily the most affected, because the people who are living in houses were extremely touched by this earthquake. So we are now assessing another 136 communities in the same areas of people who unfortunately had to spend the last night outside with the weather is absolutely horrible with the rain and the snow.
And obviously, 10, 11 years of civil war is just making the situation even more grim. Can you give us a sense of what it's like for those people that are on the ground, obviously with very little aid or help at this point in time, and the conditions that they are facing?
Yeah, so we are talking about a population that has been struggling to get access to all the basic services. Our activity was mostly to provide with water through water trucking. There was also very difficulty to access food. The price of food has almost doubled over the past year because of the situation in Ukraine. A very worrying situation. And most recently, at the end of last year, we had an outbreak of cholera, which now is one of our main worries because we've learned that boreholes have been affected by the earthquake, which added some mud in the water and might make it very hard to access clean water. So we are very worried about possible return of cholera.
How do you go about getting international aid and assistance into Syria, into these affected regions? And how much more difficult is that because of the situation in the country?
Yeah, so this is a defining aspect of the situation in northwest Syria. All the supply lines are going through Turkey. And given the situation just across the border, these supply lines are extremely weak today and they were yesterday. So we are trying to find suppliers who could manage to find ways to get food and equipment across the border. The main one for humanitarian aid was closed, Bab al-Hawa, and we are hoping that this will reopen very soon. But definitely that's a very major challenge of that response.
OK, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. That's Arno Kimmen from Mercy Corps with us from Beirut.